Simon is known to be a technical goat in orienteering. Ja, ja, ja. Ich habe Deutsch für 9 Jahre gelernt. It's almost the same in Swedish.
Yeah, but relay... Start. Start.
Okay, and then we have Schlussläufer.
Is it someone who gets disqualified?
Damn it, I was about to say gossip in the forest or something.
Yes, yeah. It is like this.
Do you understand Germany? German, sorry.
Right, easy to say. Yeah, Germany, I don't.
Slow and precise or fast and risky?
Fast and precise.
Oh, you're cheating.
Hello and welcome back to a new episode of Dickichtgeflüster. As you can hear, we are today talking in English because we have two special guests, the new coaches of the German national team. And yeah, it's also kind of out of our comfort zone, but we try to do our best and hope that, yeah, it's okay if we do some grammatical mistakes and you can understand as well. So yeah, welcome Simon and Wojciech.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I don't know if you know already the coaches, but we thought it would be nice before the next season to do an interview with them and hope that you can get to know them better. And yeah, as people, as orienteers and as coaches as well. And yeah, so we are very happy to welcome our guests.
Maybe a few words to our setups here, because it's also special in another way, this episode, because we are live together, like not online as we usually are. And we are all in the camp in Italy at the moment. Tomorrow, the first official selection races for the World Cup and also World Championships will start. And we already trained here for a few days. The weather is fantastic today. So very nice Italian feeling, even though we're inside. Yeah, so maybe we will start as we always do, with just letting our guests speak for themselves because they know best who they are. Maybe, yeah, Wojta, you can start just a few words. Who are you? Where do you come from? How do you came to be a German coach? How did you start orienteering? A few words about your career, maybe.
Okay, yeah. Okay. thank you for introduction. My name is Wojtěch Král. I'm from Czech Republic. I come from the city of Šumperk, which is in the north of the east part of Czech Republic. For older runners or orienteers, there was a European champs in 2016 very close to my home. So that part of Czech Republic, quite mountain area. Well, I started orienteering with my family when I was a kid. Actually, I didn't have any other choice than to do orienteering because both my parents and all my siblings were doing orienteering. So I was just thrown into the life with the map in the forest. After those years, I'm happy that it happened. So it's totally fine. What were the other questions? I forgot.
No, I guess for the first part, it's totally fine. We will come back to the other questions. Yeah, what about you, Simon?
Yeah, so my name is Simon Jakobsson, and I'm born and grew up in Sweden, a small village called Vikeby, between Uppsala and Stockholm. Not that far from the famous Lundsen forest around Uppsala. I was actually an opposite to Wojta. I'm not from an orienteering family. I was just thrown into orienteering by my parents. They wanted me to test something. They thought that yeah, together with my childhood friend, we should test something that included sport and being out in the nature. And I just immediately loved it. Never really understood why you would take it easy on a training already from the beginning, because it was about to be as fast as possible from the start to the finish. So yeah, that was how I started.
Okay, and what excites you most about orienteering when you started by yourself?
I think it was that it was a challenge mentally already from the beginning. I think I felt it was something different from doing other sports I had tried. Yeah, skiing, though we didn't have that much snow, table tennis, swimming, many other sports which didn't require thinking. And that's what I still enjoy the most.
Yeah, Wojtek, you are the head coach of German national team now, and Simon, you are supporting Peppa as a team. Are there any other coaches, or is it just you three?
It's three of us. I don't want to say just three of us. It's three coaches. It's a good number. We are all experienced. So we are quite kind of a strong team, I must say. Everyone knows something better than the others. So we actually, how to say it, we are building one good team organism together.
Yeah, that sounds really great. Yeah, as you said, you are also really experienced in orienteering. Wojciech, what would you say is your, what was your biggest achievement in orienteering? It's because you ended your career last year, and yeah, probably what was also the reason for that?
Well, the reason of quitting my career was at first my age. I came to a point when my body just didn't react well to a training and even competing, so it was quite painful in last years, and I struggled also mentally because of that. And yeah, I realized I can do something different. And when I got the opportunity to work as a coach, I wasn't thinking for long. It's much more fun to be out in the forest and not sitting in front of a computer every day. Of course, this work requires a lot of planning in front of a computer, but then you can spend nice training camp in the forest and in the warm weather during the winter. So it's a really nice job, and actually it's pretty challenging as well mentally, because anytime you set up a course, you need to think how to do it properly so the runners can actually learn something or have some positive outcome. So it's not just setting some basic stuff. I always try to do my best. And so, I think I have forgotten to answer the first part of the question, which I don't remember what it was. Sorry.
Wanted you to summarize your entire career.
Okay. Shortly. Well, maybe you want to hear some results, but I'm more satisfied about my orienteering skills, that I actually could from time to time perform on my 100% possibilities. Like it happened a few times on the international level. It also happened even more times on the national level, on the competitions in Czech Republic. And whenever I could perform this way, I was just super happy. And I felt like, okay, this is the thing I always wanted. And it didn't matter about results at all. Of course, I'm happy that I won some competitions, but I was always aiming for a pure experience in the race.
Yeah, very impressive. I think I can feel that very much. I think probably something most orienteers also like about the sport, that you can aim for this technical perfection and not only always compare yourself to others. Yeah, nevertheless, like, we found some quite impressive results. I guess we're a bit too young to really, at least for me, I didn't really experience that by myself. At least the first ones, like, we found that you won J-Rock, like, on the junior level in 2007.
Yes.
Actually, a sprint in Australia.
That's correct.
Yeah, and then at the World Games in 2017, the bronze medal in middle distance. Okay, that's actually not so long ago.
Yeah.
But yeah.
In between those two results, it's 10 years.
Yeah.
And the first one at JWOG, I wasn't actually training at that age. I was doing something like, of course, attending or entering trainings once or twice a week, playing football with my friends or hockey and doing some running, but my training was hardly systematical. And I won just because of a talent. But it took me 10 years to get to the level when I could perform on the international level the same way. So between the JWOG and the World Games, it was tough years.
So you would you say that those World Games were also like your first big success that you're proud of, or was there something else?
I can say so, yes.
Yeah, so now we just introduced you a bit and we will come back to some probably also deeper questions. Back to your job as a coach. Simon, as Wojciech, you came to the team this year, but probably you can explain how was the selection of the coaches and when did you decided to be a German coach and yeah, how was the process of this?
Well, for me, it's been ever since I started coaching my partner, Eve, and also the rest of the Dutch team, which I did previously. I have felt that I had really good contact with the German coaches. So we have been able to join some training sessions and got to know, especially Peppa. And then it was last spring, in April or so, the team was on a training camp in Sweden and we were attending the same races. And Peppa asked me if I would be interested in coaching the German team. I immediately felt that it was a very interesting task. And I kind of said yes directly, maybe not at the spot, but quite quickly, as soon as we discussed a bit that Eve could possibly join the team on camps and so on. So yeah, it was quite easy choice for me, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, so you didn't know each other before as well, or?
And no, actually not. So at least I got to hear a bit that there was another applicant for the position. So actually, we were actually talking about, I think, about one position in the beginning. But it turned out that at least some wanted both of us. But I heard that it was Wojta, that was the other one. So I was totally fine with having Wojta as my, or my, but the head coach in the team. And we didn't know each other from the from before. I just remembered Wojta's name. The first time I noticed Wojta's name was wasn't a race, a small relay, spring relay in Sweden in like 2015, 16 maybe. I remember the speaker shouting his name because he was running insanely fast on that relay. And apparently that was like your first or second night weren't hearing in Sweden, I think. I don't know if you remember.
Was it
Svartnatta?
Svartnatta. Actually, it was my first ever night orienteering in Sweden. Okay. I don't remember when I heard your name for the first time. I certainly know you as a person being on the events and camps with F, so I knew who you are.
But do you know if there were any other applicants?
I heard from Peppa that there was some other applicants, but I don't know exactly.
Okay. And Simon, as you said, you also coach of or from Eve. So is she only like athlete, or how did you get in general into coaching?
So how I got into the coaching, like
not the German coaching, but
yeah,
being in general. College in general.
Yeah, 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 no, but it was because of Ave. And, okay. Well, she started orienteering because of me. And then I probably had to do some coaching also. Actually, when it... I've been coaching Ave and also like other Dutch runners at events. But then in 2021, I got a position as a trainer in our Swedish club, Västervik. So that's when I formalized my coaching job.
Okay. And so what are the tasks that you have to do as a coach of the German national squad? So I guess there are many, but probably some that you like the most and one that you don't like.
So the one which I don't like is the billing afterwards. It's always complicated. I do many mistakes in that procedure. So I always get the email from Katrin that something's wrong.
Yeah, same for me.
But what I do like actually is to set courses. Because as I said earlier, you really can invent something interesting. And it's fun to plan ahead. I'm not saying I'm really good in that, but hopefully I will get better. So we can plan our camps a little bit more in advance. And then don't need to be stressed out just in the last week.
Yeah, no, but I totally agree. Setting courses but also evaluating trainings with runners. It's really fun. Hopefully contributing to some more development for you as runners. Of course, there are some formalities that need to be done, but that's how it is. But I think we have both realized with such a big group of runners, it is important, as Wojta says, that it makes life easier for us as coaches if we are well prepared and can also then be more relaxed and more present at the camps for you as runners.
Yeah, it's always good when you have time to do some following in the forest and talking on site with runners about navigation. I believe it's the most valuable input from us we can give.
Yeah, for sure.
Do you separate your tasks in some specific way?
No, not really. Okay. It's a living organism.
Yeah. Well, no, so we have split, like, for some, up to now, we have, like, for some camp in the beginning, I think Wojta said all the courses, and I did some most courses for another gathering, and then we have split it up pretty evenly, course setting, I think. It's partly because it's also so much fun with that. So, it also depends how much time we both have and so on.
Yeah, and to set a sprint multi-tech is a job for a half day or maybe a whole day to do it properly and prepare it for the print and for live logs. And it's a terrible job, but we believe the value of the training is worth it.
But speaking about time, how much time does this coaching job take, and do you still probably train around it for yourself, or do you have another job?
I don't count the hours. A rough estimation is it's like 50 or 60% job, and I have other things to do, as I'm also helping as a coach, elite coach in EF Komura. I also draw maps from time to time, just small projects around my city, and I'm also involved in my home club in Severka Šumperk when it comes to organizing, mapping and everything else. The usual stuff in the club life, I'm always part of it. So it's a lot of things to do. But when it comes to last week before the camp, I'm quite used to wake up quite late and work until 2 o'clock in the morning and prepare everything so it's done properly.
Yeah, and in my case, it's a bit less in terms of how much time it takes, as well, it'll take the main part of some of the planning and so on. But I also don't count the hours. It's, that just stresses you out, I think. But I also work, I would say, more than half time with my, I have my own business in ecology. So I'm doing consultancy work for some Swedish agencies and companies. working with environmental issues. So then when I do that, it's that's my time for boring computer work. So I always look forward to camps and course setting and everything. So
yeah, it definitely seems like a good combination to have your own company if you want to do something like coaching, since Peppa also does it like that.
Yeah, it's very beneficial. It's really nice to be able to decide your own time. Of course, you have your customers that you need to kind of satisfy also in some way. So, but I have, at the moment, I have a really good position in terms of that. So.
I have never dreamt about working low, from 8 to 16 every day. I like it more this way, being a coach and be master of my own time.
Yeah, I also keep telling other orienteers, athletes, younger, that don't stress about work. Probably life will solve itself somehow in the end. So it's really important to have fun also and feel that you make a contribution to something you really enjoy.
I would be interested in what do you probably also expect from yourself, but also from the athletes that you coach, in terms of training or results or anything of the team, or just what about you and what about your expectations?
Would you like to start?
Yeah, well, I can start. Well, because this is actually something that we have brought up in talks during the winter with the runners to get to know the runners. And we also want to be very open with expectations both ways. I can start with expectations on myself. That would be, maybe we already touched upon it, but providing well-organized training camps, good trainings, and good support in relation to races, both before and after, to actually support runners disregarding results or performances. We should be there for you as runners. And I also said that it's nice if we can strive after being present coaches at camps and not just setting controls, then disappearing, being totally exhausted or something. It's good to, not physically, but to be there and actually coaching in practice. That's what I expect from us. And I think we think the same there.
But. Yeah, I agree about that. You want to build up the best possible options for your development as runners in the national team. And what do we expect from our team? Well, of course, we'll be happy if our work can be visible on some results, but we don't put any pressure on that. We'll be happy when our runners are happy with their development, whatever level it is. Yeah, being orienteer, it's difficult sport. You have to be dedicated to do big steps and everything. So it's maybe impossible to want from everyone to be a top world star. So we are standing with our feet on the ground. And but personally, I would be happy if the team works that way, that it motivates more young runners in Germany to actually aim for the elite orienteering in senior class.
That's a very nice goal, I would say. We've not been working together for very long yet, but did you already find some areas maybe where you think that the team in general has a lot of room for improvement, maybe areas you want to focus on in the near future?
Well, tough question. since we don't know how the camps looked before, so it's hard to compare. I don't know if there's a point which I would just point out. Give us 1 year to evaluate this. Maybe next year we can have another podcast with the coaches and we can tell you actually what the German national team can work on properly.
And I think I can just add it's on that topic, I guess, but it's... what we have been working with so far during the winter training has been the technical and physical aspects in orienteering. And now we are approaching race season So it will also include maybe a bit more of the mental aspect of orienteering. So I hope that we can contribute also there, and I look forward to having the race season.
Yes, it starts tomorrow.
Yeah.
So this evening, if there is a meeting, we should be ready with some smart talking.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so for me, it's also the first year in the senior team. But I don't know, what about you, Paula? But speaking about me, it's like, I guess I can feel the new energy, and at least that's really nice, and it's motivating for the whole team.
Nice to hear.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. I mean, I wouldn't say that the atmosphere was not motivated before, but it's very different. And I think we can, it often helps to, get new input, to do things a bit differently than before, maybe get new opinions. So I think everyone can profit from that, also those of us who have been in the team for longer. And I think, it's also quite special that we are more people now. Like the team has quite a big size, I would say, compared to earlier years. So that's interesting also for the spirit. More people to train with. And we are also doing more analysis sessions with it, like just not also independently from the coaches, which is new. Probably we would have done it without you, but I don't know. We needed this new energy to start.
Yeah, it seems to be some analytical energy definitely in the team, because after every single technical sprint session, we have prepared, like when we have prepared route choice analysis, there's always a text somewhere in a chat or so, or a comment directly that, oh, but you didn't look at this route choice. And then, of course, we missed something. But that's just happy coaches seeing that, I guess.
Yeah. And we can also develop over the years. So
yeah.
Maybe in the future.
Yeah.
We got also some questions from Anna and Nilas, the other two people that are in our podcast. And I guess Anna was also interested in, what do you think separates a good orienteer from a world-class orienteer?
Okay, I think it's the experience and the self-confidence. I believe that if you want to be the very best, you need to be very strong in your mind. And you don't need to train more than the others. You just need to be stronger in your head, that you actually believe in your skills fully. It's like, how to say it? I can compare it to a faith, like you believe in a God, you have a very strong belief, and if you can have the same feeling about your navigational skills and performance overall, and then you have big advantage over the others, because you're not open to mistakes, something like that.
Yeah, and I totally agree, and I think that like to get to that point, it requires a lot of dedication, like as an individual, dedication to the sport to get to that point. So, yeah,
definitely. Since orienteering doesn't bring anything for the future, like money and fame, you really need to like the sport and just want to achieve your maximum possibilities, even though you're getting very little for it.
Can you think of something that maybe many young athletes or also the public, who is not elite orienteers themselves, underestimates, like the importance of some aspect?
I would say they underestimate the thing that orienteering is experience-based sport, and you really need to take many years to understand every single piece of the navigation. It's not about the running. You can learn that, you can very quickly, you can train 2 or 3 seasons and you can develop significantly. But understand the navigation so it's totally flawless, it takes many years, and it also depends on the terrains. So your like, how to say it, your terrain database should be very, very wide, and you need to understand every one of them. So that takes a lot of time, and some people probably don't know how difficult that is.
Yeah, that's totally the way it is. I can just for myself being from Sweden, and people say that Scandinavian orienteers are usually very good technically, and I hope I am, but still, like, you can be very good and confident in your home terrain. But what, like, actually coaching AFE brought me a lot of more experience myself also, traveling around international races. So yeah, totally agree. It requires a lot of experience from different types of terrain, and you can't replace it with something else, really.
And one fun fact, Simon is known to be a technical goat in orienteering.
Yeah, no pressure.
Yeah, but good for us, maybe. Yeah, can try to teach us. But yeah.
Do you have a fun fact about Wojta?
I think Wojta has many about me. Fun fact. Well, I'm actually a bit curious that this is the second time we actually share room, the camp. So still, it's been quite quiet, but I've heard that Wojta might get up sleepwalking. So I don't know. Maybe we should separate the beds even more, or I don't know. If he starts to hit me or something, but
it's interesting to know such thing. But I must say, it's not dangerous to anyone in the room. It's usually dangerous for myself.
Yeah, of course. So it's maybe not that fun, but it's a fact, apparently.
So this part we didn't send to you because it's like little funny part, and we didn't want to you that you can see it before. So we prepared some German words, and we want you to try to explain them in English. Yeah, so some of them are more easy than others, I guess.
So it's not meant as a test, so don't be afraid. It's more like you can also just guess what it sounds like, because I think, yeah, Wojta, you know some German.
Yeah. Ich habe Deutsch für 9 Jahre gelernt.
Okay, so maybe you even know the words, then it won't be that funny, but we can just try how many words you already picked up from us by just listening. We start very easy. So the first one is OL.
It's orienteering.
Yeah, okay.
It's the same in Sweden. So it's very easy. In Czech Republic, it's OB.
Oh, it is.
Like Orientationsbech.
And then Postenschirm.
That must be the flag.
Yeah, correct. Kartenhülle. Something very important that people often forget.
It's a plastic bag.
Yeah, exactly.
Staffelstart.
It's almost the same in Swedish.
Yeah, but relay start.
Yes.
Relay start. Okay. Yes. I didn't think about it as a word. Okay.
Okay, and then we have Schlussläufer.
Is it someone who gets disqualified?
No.
Schlussläufer.
Yeah, but it's a person, that's correct.
Is it like the last runner in the relay?
Yes.
Okay.
Schluss is key.
No? Schluss is like to quit something.
Okay.
No, Schluss is the end. Like.
Okay, I thought it had been. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever.
And the next one is Wildschwein.
Oh.
Ah. Wild boar. Wild pig.
Yes.
Pig.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and then we have a word that probably not even all Germans know, but it's used very much by some of us. Oift.
Oift?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I think you have no chance to guess it.
But like when do you say it or use it?
Use it in a sentence.
Da war so viel Oift, der Posten war richtig eklig.
Like easy?
No, kind of the opposite. So it's I don't even like there's no like, real it's definition.
Like really dark green, and you have like
scratchy vegetation, and like it's just the, like the most extreme word you can use for something that's really disgusting in the forest, and you
don't want to go through. It's actually from Saxony, so
Okay, well, maybe one more or two more. German specialty, Krümeltee.
Once again, please.
Krümeltee.
Krümeltee. Some kind of a tea.
Yeah.
Some herb. Yeah. Some herbs.
Krümel. That's.
Isn't it the plant which can burn you on the skin in the forest? No.
No, you would know it if you had been to Germany to competitions, which I guess you both haven't been yet.
It's actually a fun fact. I ran my first orienteering in Germany at the kickoff last autumn.
Yes.
And so did I.
Yeah. So it's the drink that is served at the finish in almost every German competition. And it contains nothing natural. It's only sugar with chemical flavor. But it's
on every German orienteering competition.
Yeah, not everyone, but very often.
Okay, like, so
you either have water or Krümeltee.
Okay.
So is this something we should start as a tradition also in the team at camps or?
No, it's fine. I don't like it.
No. It gets especially extreme if there's children in the Finnish who prepare it.
Okay.
Because of course, children like it very sweet, so they have no feeling for how concentrated it should be. Yeah. Gives enough, a lot of energy, I guess. And then the last one is important for today because it's Dickichtgeflüster. We said it in the introduction because it's the name of this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
No idea. We were supposed to guess what's the name of the podcast.
Can you say once more the word?
Dickichtgeflüster.
I think it's. I don't know.
No idea. It's hard to guess.
Yeah, it is. So it's like whisper in the dense forest. So.
Damn it, I was about to say gossip in the forest or something.
Yes, it is like this.
So you understand Germany. German, sorry.
Right, easy to say. Yeah, Germany, I don't. What's that?
Yes. Okay, and so now we have another little game. I guess you can answer more fast because there are only two options to answer. And
is it a competition?
It kind of is a competition because you should answer very fast.
Yes.
It's not fun otherwise. So you're not allowed to think about it and just answer after each other very quickly.
Almost like knockout sprint. Self-choice. Like, always go for A.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the fastest.
Yeah, it's a little tradition in our podcast.
Okay, should I start?
Yes.
Yeah, are you ready?
Yes.
Yeah.
Around or over the hill?
Over the hill.
Green or steep?
Green.
Steep.
Top spikes or no spikes?
Spikes.
Straight line or the path?
Straight line.
Straight.
Climb or distance?
Climb.
Sprint or long distance?
Sprint.
Long distance.
Knockout sprint or sprint relay?
Knockout sprint.
Relay or team?
What's the difference?
You know, the team competition.
Relay.
Yeah.
Relay.
First or last leg?
Last.
O-ringen or OO Cup?
O-ringen.
Pass.
You're not allowed to.
I would rather not do any of them.
Jukola or Tiumila?
Jukola.
Without compass or without control description?
Without control description.
Without compass.
water or sweet tea?
Sweet tea.
Sweet tea.
Strava or attack point?
Strava.
Strava.
Sweden or Switzerland?
Sweden.
Sweden.
Silence at the pre-start or, oh, you too?
Silence.
Silence.
Bratwurst or cake?
Cake.
Cake.
Enjoy nature or full speed?
Full speed.
Enjoy nature.
Road or trail?
Trail.
Trail.
Navigating or running?
Navigating.
Navigating.
Drawing maps or course setting?
Course setting.
Course setting.
Demonstrating or letting leads figure it out?
Demonstrating.
Let them figure it out.
Technique drills or fitness session?
Technique drills.
Fitness.
Slow and precise or fast and risky?
fast and precise.
Oh, you're cheating. I would say fast and risky.
Technical terrain or runnable terrain?
Technical.
Technical.
And camping or hotel?
Camping.
Or hotel.
Cooking or buffet?
Cooking.
Cooking.
Celebrating or analyzing?
Celebrating.
Celebrating.
Coaching or training?
Coaching.
Coaching.
Okay. You got it.
Correct answer for the last one.
Yeah, so thank you so much that you joined our podcast. I think, yeah, there were so many like interesting facts and yeah, answers of your, yeah.
Yeah, I think we are not known to talk too much, if not necessary. So.
We both chose a silence on the start.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then I rather do things than talk about things.
Yeah, that's good as a coach, I guess. Yeah, so probably we will hear you again in 1 year in our podcast or someday. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much for inviting us to your podcast. And we hope it's interesting for your listeners. And see you again sometime in the future.
Yeah, thanks.